I just really thought it appropriate to do, Carlton and I talked about to do communion before we talked about the resurrection. So let's open to a verse here. Matthew 26:26. So we're going somewhere here. So you have to kind of stick with us. By the time you get through here, hopefully there will be some understanding that the resurrection should mean something to you every single day. There should be a personal application of the resurrection every single day. And there is supposed to be. So, look for that as we go through. We'll try to bring that before we get through. We'll try to, bring you to that point. Matthew 26:26-28. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." And we know that this was done the night before that Jesus was crucified. This is something he's going to implement to say, "I want you to remember," as if we would forget. But yet, even in the early church, they started this and they did it often. They had the Lord's Supper. They did communion. The Holy Eucharist, the Holy Communion, the Eucharist in the Catholic Church. What? Eucharist. Depend on you Catholics to straighten me out. that we would take time, focus on, remember his sacrifice, his death. Yet, there's something obviously more to it than just his death. And there's something here in the cross. And we're not going to spend all day on the cross. But there's something here about the cross that we have to get a hold of if we're going to have the benefit of the resurrection. There's a theme throughout the Gospels and the rest of the New Testament that we cannot just taste of heavenly things. That we cannot just, in a sense, taste of the bread and the wine. That we have to chew it up and we have to swallow it. Be fully identified with his death. If we do not fully identify with his death, then we will not receive the benefit of the resurrection. And the cross always goes before abundant life. You have a choice. Every day you have choices. You will choose to deny self and follow God. That's the cross. You choose the cross. And when you choose the cross, you get life. But if you choose to hang on to your life and you choose to follow your own way in every decision that you make throughout the day, then you choose death. You see, it's backwards. You choose death, you get life. You choose life, you get death. You become separated from God and the fellowship with Him. So if you would have life and have abundant life, then you must come by the way of the cross. And the cross has always been a stumbling point. There was a point, we won't go there, in John 6:54, where many people turned away from Jesus started talking about, "You must eat of my flesh and drink of my blood." And the crowds went, "What are you talking about? We don't want anything to do with this guy." And from that point on, the cross became a stumbling point, even to his very disciples. But in Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 1:18, Paul says, "The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. And it is a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles." The cross has always been a stumbling block. It's a stumbling block to me and it's a stumbling block to you, because tomorrow, when we get out of this atmosphere and we have choices to make and we're going to choose self or we're going to choose God, the cross is going to be a stumbling block, because we don't want to die to self. We want to hang on to self. Yet, if we will die to self, then there is the abundant life. And that really is what I want to talk to you more about today, is that abundant life, the resurrection life. The multitudes turned away because it appears to be a difficult way, the way of the cross. Yet those that followed the way of the cross had abundant life. As difficult as the cross is, as wonderful as the cross is, and as necessary as the cross is to your salvation, to your relationship with God. We've tried to hammer this into us that there is no relationship with God without being fully identified with the cross. Now, there are many that taste of the bread and of the wine, but never are fully, they hang out, they never fully identify with the cross. Oh, I'm a sinner. I deserve death. I am nothing. I deserve to die. But I accept your sacrifice in my place to give me life. And if we are never fully identified with the cross, then we never have life. We never have the relationship. Yet the resurrection is what is necessary for a new life, for an abundant life. And in John 14:19, Jesus said, "Because I live, you also will live." What was he talking about? Because I live, because I come back from the grave, because I don't stay dead, because I live, because of my, and I hopefully I will prove this to you today, if you don't really believe it in your completely, that because he lives, then we can have not just life, as we think of breathing and eating and walking around, but we have abundant life. So, let's get to the nuts and bolts of it. Romans 6:1-10. Been hanging out with me for long, you know that I go to Romans fairly often. With a little different twist today. We always talk about being identified with the cross when we read these verses here. But I want you to look at it a little bit different today. I want you to look at it as being identified with the resurrection today. We had to talk about the cross. I refused to talk about the resurrection without talking about the cross. So we had to go there, and we wanted to do communion to give you a remembrance of the cross as we've been instructed to do. So we remembered the cross. We know that's the way we get there. Identified with the cross, also dying to self, putting the old man, the flesh, to death, choosing to follow God and not self. Yet when we make those choices, when we die, there is an absolute assurance of abundant life. So let's go through these verses. We won't dig into them as deeply as we could. So how can we be daily identified with the resurrection? How can we be daily identified with the resurrection to have that abundant life? Now we'll start reading verse 1 and we'll go down to 10. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin, the cross. How can we live it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? That's identified into his death. The cross, identified into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life because of his resurrection. If we are identified with the resurrection, then we can live a new life. We can't just say, oh, I'm going to live a new life. Nobody can do that. Not really, truly. There has to be a death to live a new life. But what he's saying, if we are identified with the cross and identified with the resurrection, then we can live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. That's not talking about the final resurrection. That's talking about the resurrection that already happened. He rose from the grave. He came back to life. And we are united with him. Now we're going to talk about how to apply this. But we are united with him in that resurrection. If you have come by way of the cross, then this has happened with you. You have been united in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, so that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died from sin, we believe. Look what he does. Every single time it's boom, boom. Cross, resurrection, cross, resurrection, cross, resurrection. All the way through this section. If we died with Christ, if you were identified with Christ, if you said, oh, I deserve death, that should be me on that cross. Take my sin. If you were identified with Jesus on the cross, if we died with Christ, we believe, there's a key there, we'll talk about it some more, application. If we believe that we will also live with Him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, He cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over Him. The death He died to sin once for all, but the life He lives to God. We're going to save verse 11. That's the application. We're going to save it for just a minute here. Let's go to Galatians 2:20. Now we have to kind of understand what Jesus calls us to. He calls us not just to follow Him. He calls us to follow Him, but you trace through the Gospels what happens after He tells them to follow Him. Pretty soon, it turns into He calls them to live like Him. He calls the disciples, and He calls us to live like Him, to do the things that He did. So, something's got to give. He's called us to the impossible thing. He's called us to something impossible. So He must provide a way for this to happen. Let's look at Galatians 2:20 here. I have been crucified with Christ. There we again, we start with the cross. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, the resurrection life. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. There is a promise in that. If we come by way of the cross, if we believe, then we will live out the life of Christ. He will live His life through us. There's a catch here, and we know what the catch is. Faith. We will not please God without faith, and we will not appropriate the resurrection or the life of Christ without faith. Without faith, we will not get the benefit of the resurrection. We will not have the benefit of the life of Christ in us without faith, without believing it to be true. So let's go back to Romans chapter 6. I guess when we hear about the resurrection, when we hear about Easter, I want us to really have a personal proclamation of what good news that it is. Not good news just in a general sense to the church, but personally, what does it mean to me today and tomorrow? The resurrection. 6:11. Romans. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin. You know, I've always focused on that part of this short little verse. Reckon it to be true that you are dead to sin. You're tempted, the flesh wants something, self wants something, you want something. How do you overcome that temptation? We've talked about this plenty. You believe it to be true that old self does not have control over you. But this goes a huge leap beyond that. Then it's by faith. If you skip the first part and go directly to the point, it's reckon it to be true that you are alive to God in Christ Jesus. Reckon it to be true that Jesus lives in you. Reckon it to be true that you have the resurrection life in you, that you can live out the life of Christ. Not just a don't sin, but a living out of the life of Christ by faith. Count on it to be true. Reckon it to be true. Believe it. Let's go to Romans 1:17. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. There's a quote here. I think it's on your notes on the back of your bulletin, from A.B. Bruce, that Training of the Twelve, I think, is the book he wrote. This kind of condenses a lot of the thought here. If you just read along with me, there were many educated, talented, and wealthy men with rank and refinement that heard Jesus, and even some that followed him secretly. And he would have had them had they been willing to give up these things to follow him. But he preferred devoted men who had none of these to undevoted men who had them all. For he knew something they didn't, that his resurrection life would be imparted to them by the presence of the Holy Spirit in them in the future, and by faith they would live like Jesus. Would you believe the resurrection? Is the question we're going to finish up with today. We're not finishing right now. But we will finish with this question. Will you believe the resurrection? And it seems there's also a key here, according to Bruce, that will you be devoted to Christ? Will you be devoted to Him? Will you believe the resurrection so that you can live like Jesus? You know, it does you no good to try to live a life you don't have. You know, if you haven't come by way of the cross, then don't be trying to live the resurrection life or you're wasting your time. You have to come by way of the cross. We've made that clear. Don't try to live something you don't have, but you do need to live something you do have. If you do have the resurrection life, then you are expected to live it. There is an expectation. We talked about that last week, an expectation of fruit. So if you do have the resurrection life, then let me fill you in on a few things. Remember Peter, when you remember they were out in the boat, Peter and the other disciples, and there were the waves and the wind, and then here comes Jesus, just a faint figure at first. And suddenly Peter recognizes that it's the Master. That's Jesus. And Peter, why this popped into his head? Well, I think I kind of do know why it popped in his head. They had this thing that the teacher, this rabbi, that how he lived, the disciples were to copy that way of living. What he did, they were to do. What he said, they were to say. That was the depth of the kind of following that a true teacher, a rabbi, had. And so he sees Jesus walking on the water. He figures, I'm supposed to walk on the water too. Call me Jesus if you would have me walk on the water to you. He's just doing a little double check before he gets out of the boat. Come on. I'm walking on the water. You walk on the water with me. So Peter gets out of the boat, and lo and behold, he walks on the water. He did what Jesus was doing. He did the impossible. And he was willing to attempt the impossible. Not because he was arrogant. He did have a problem with arrogance, but this was not one of those cases, I don't think. He got out and walked on the water. He responded to the call of Jesus, and he believed. Now, we know what happened a few minutes later, but for the moment, he believed. And he did what the Master was doing. It was all about faith. It was all about faith. Not faith in faith. That's a popular kind of little teaching today. If you boil it down, is have faith in faith. It was not faith in faith. It was faith in the one that was out there walking on the water. It was faith in Jesus to do what he was doing. Remember John 14, we looked at it. When Jesus was intimate that evening before the crucifixion, and Jesus said, if you have faith in me, you will do what I have been doing, and you will do even greater things than me. He was not talking about walking on water. I don't think he was even talking about healing and doing the miracles. That's not, those things had a point in Jesus' ministry. But Jesus was bearing fruit in his life. He was living in complete dependence on the Father, and he was living like Jesus. He was showing the character and the nature of Jesus. If they had faith, they too would have fruit. And they too would make disciples. They too would have compassion. They would be like Jesus. You'll do what I was doing. And like Peter, you are called to do what you cannot do. I think it's important to get a hold of that. That you're called to do something you cannot do. But this thing, faith, is not to get what I want. There's a lot of confusion about faith today. Faith is not to get that thing I want, to name it and claim it. Faith is to trust God for what He promised. It's to trust God fully for what He promised. What did He promise? Fruit. If we will trust Him, there will be fruit in our lives. The life of Christ will be seen in me. With that in mind, listen to this quote by William Carey, a missionary to India, who did phenomenal things in India. And I think you have to have that in mind to understand this quote. Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. Not in ambition or arrogance, but in humility and faith because of the life of Christ in you. Because you could give a little, put this before William Carey's quote. You could say, because of the resurrection, because of your personal experience of the resurrection, because of you've come by way of the cross, and because you have put your faith that Jesus lives in you, then expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. Not to run a marathon or be in the Olympics or being the CEO for a company, but to be like Jesus. Are you only trying things that you can do in your own strength? Are you only attempting things that you can do in your own strength? He wants us to attempt things like Peter, to do things that we cannot do. Now, I'm not telling you to be foolish. That, you know, He gifts us and gives us spiritual gifts to do the things He calls us to do. He expects us to seek counsel, to have maturity, to grow in Him. Yet, He also expects us to do things that we cannot do. To attempt things that we cannot do in our own strength. There's so many instances in the Word of God's philosophy is, just give me what you have, and I will multiply it. You say, well, I only have this one talent. Give me what you have, all of it, and I will multiply it. I will do the impossible with what you give me. So, we're back to our question of the day. Will you believe the resurrection life in you? Will you reckon it to be true? You see, whatever God is dealing with you on, whatever He's calling you to, if you're listening to God, He's calling you to something. Maybe just more discipline tomorrow morning. Maybe just to be bold in your faith. Maybe to be obedient. Maybe to quit doing some things. He's calling you to something. A ministry. He's calling you to serve. He's calling you to do something that you cannot do. Will you reckon it to be true? Not just that you're dead to self, but will you reckon it to be true that Jesus lives in you? That the resurrection is true and it's for you. The resurrection is for you to apply today. It's for application. It's not just for some theological truth that we just believe in our minds. That it's for putting it into practice today. I believe that Jesus lives in me. I believe you. Let's go back to Romans real quick here. 6. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. That Jesus will live His life through you by faith. And the thing, I just throw this one last thing out. You read over and over in the Psalms, the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. He can be trusted. When you trust Him for that, you just remind yourself, the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. That His faithfulness never ends, it never grows tired, it's never down one day. The faithfulness of the Lord is for you today. And what is faith if it doesn't work when it looks like it doesn't? It's not working. That's what faith is about. It works when it looks like it's not working. It works when it looks like things are falling apart. That is the day of faith. It works when you feel your weakest. It works when you feel the most worthless and useless in God's kingdom. Then you just refuse that and you believe the resurrection. Because you will live a new life. That's exactly what He said. I give you a new life.